Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by No Halftime. Use promo code BBALL100 to get up to a $100 deposit bonus to use in the app No Halftime. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store and Amazon.com. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Monday, November 1st. We are taping this, though, on Halloween still. It's about 11 p.m. on, Monday night?
It is Monday night, and it is 11 p.m. Howl at the moon.
Oh, very nice. Oh, so this is the show for Tuesday, November 1st, right?
Correct.
I think I might have said Monday, November 1st. So it's Tuesday, November 1st. And we have a couple different things that we should mention right away for the slate on Tuesday. There's 9 games, and one stupid, silly, odd, weird game, for whatever reason, is on at 6 p.m. or starts at 6 p.m. Eastern.
It's not for any reason. It's because the game is in Cleveland. It's Houston at Cleveland, and the Cleveland Indians are playing the World Series there, and that game starts at 8 Eastern, so they're starting the basketball game at 6 Eastern. So they started it. They moved it up 1 hour because of the World Series.
Okay. Well, that actually makes sense then.
But it still sucks because there's a bunch of 7 Eastern games, and now you got this one 6 p.m. Eastern game that where lineups are going to lock.
Yeah, it's the most annoying thing in the world. Already for almost all of us with our day jobs, I mean, like getting a lineup locked by 7 p.m. is hard enough. You know, a 6 p.m. while we're all probably still at the office is going to be brutal. So just make sure you guys are aware that lineup lock for the entire slate is at 6 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, not 7 p.m. Now, hopefully a lot of people, not me and Kyle, and also all of you listening to the podcast will not get caught up in this. Hopefully others will, though, and then it could actually work out to our advantage.
Yeah, well, but to make sure that you're prepared, so maybe plan out on your drive home a nice place to stop and pull over 5 minutes before lineups lock. You can get into your app for whatever site you're playing on, get in there and make any lineup changes you might have to make.
Yeah, and it's going to be tricky, though, because I mean, a lot of late news. There's some late games. I mean, the games are spread out in time as well, so there's probably going to be some weird things that happen in your lineups that we just have no control over. Because by 6 p.m. Eastern, you know, we're still waiting on a lot of news from the rest of the 8 other games that are going to start later. So, you know, just don't worry about it. Just do the best you can tomorrow. And just remember that there's a 6 p.m. lock. Now, in terms of the actual games, the game of the night is probably going to be Golden State Warriors at Portland. The over-under is just so juicy and tasty. 228. The Warriors have not been playing well, so they're only favored by 5.5 points. So that means Vegas thinks it's going to be a close game. If that game stays close, man, I'm definitely going to have some lineups that just stack that game. And you play Curry and Dame and Clay and Draymond and I'm trying to think from Portland, who else I play? CJ McCollum I probably play. Maybe some Plum Dog in there. Maybe some Aminu that you get him dirt cheap. So a lot of guys you can go after from that game. But other great games as well. The Lakers at Indiana, 216 over-under. Indiana's favored by 9, so maybe a potential blowout there. But obviously, I love to attack teams that are playing the Lakers. You got Houston at Cleveland, over-under of 218.5. Cleveland's favored by 9, so again, you got that maybe a potential of a blowout.
Do those spreads worry you?
Yeah, I mean, 9 is like the cusp of basically Vegas telling us this game is going to be a blowout, but it may go into my thinking in terms of a cash game play. It may alter my thinking in terms of someone from that game. But for GPPs, no. If there's a nine point spread, I'm going to go after that game. The only game that truly worries me about it being a blowout tomorrow, right now, is the Utah at San Antonio. San Antonio's 10.5 point favorite, and that over under is 187. So when you have a game with the lowest over under by far, I think that's the lowest over under of the year, and you have the biggest spread of the night, that's probably a game that I'm gonna avoid for the most part. I think there's one or two guys that I may look to in tournaments that we'll probably get into later in the show, but that Utah San Antonio game for the most part, I don't want much part of that.
Holla holla.
So other tidbits for the games on Tuesday, the Kings are really the only team playing. On the second day of a back-to-back, they looked dreadful tonight. DeMarcus Cousins, Kyle, I can't stand that dude. He got in foul trouble so early. I mean, I don't know when he got in foul trouble. I think it was late in the third quarter. But the first half, he sucked. He was moping around the court the entire time. You know, they played Atlanta, so he doesn't have the great splits against Atlanta and against, or I should say against Dwight Howard. So maybe that was part of it, but he just did not look well tonight. So, I mean, he's going to be rested for tomorrow, at least for Sacramento. But I think it, as we talked about,
Cousins still played 32 minutes on Monday. So kind of a heavy load. Like, plus he was getting banged up against playing against Dwight Howard. So I don't know. Something to consider, maybe.
It's just annoying. And, you know, as we talked about on the pod yesterday, on our season-long pod, the Kings play five times this week, so not surprising that they do have a back-to-back.
And the Kings will be matching up against Hassan Whiteside, but we might see – I mean, how the hell are the – we might see Miami start a bigger front court tomorrow against the Kings. If the Kings are going to start Kufis and DeMarcus Cousins – maybe the Heat roll out, because who the heck do you have guard DeMarcus out on the wing? You dig? Like, you can't have Luke Babbitt do it, can you?
You know, I mean, Spoelstra's funny because he's notorious for not wanting to change his, like, starting lineups. Like, he wants the other team to adjust to him. So, I guess it will be interesting to see if Miami does alter anything.
Or if Jaeger changes up his lineup, maybe takes Kufis out of there. That's a possibility, too. Then again, but the thing is, Jaeger probably wants Kufis in there to bang with Whiteside.
Yeah, I'm not sure, you know.
So, I mean, is it possible we see Justice Winslow out there trying to pester DeMarcus Cousins?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
No, I mean, that wouldn't happen.
So. Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
I hope it happens.
Other news, so we can say there's lots of teams on the first day of a back-to-back, but I guess we don't need to get to those teams per se.
Well, I guess what really stands out is first day of back-to-back, guys. So on Tuesday, you got a bunch of teams that are going to play in their first game, and then on Wednesday, they got another one coming up. Blazers, Lakers, Grizzlies, Knicks, Jazz, Pelicans, Pistons, Sixers, and Rockets. The Grizzlies, they've had a five-game in like a very short stretch, so you're seeing, or I think it's four games in five nights that the Grizzlies are doing right now. And you're probably going to see either Mike Conley or Marc Gasol get limited minutes for one of these games, either on Tuesday or Wednesday for the Grizzlies. So take that into consideration if you're going to think about rostering them. And then for the Sixers, Jahlil Okafor is out on Tuesday. Joel Embiid is going to play on Tuesday, but then on Wednesday, Joel Embiid will sit out and Jahlil Okafor will play. And Embiid is supposed to have a 24-minute limit on Tuesday night, so take that into consideration when looking at him potentially. That's where back-to-backs come in. That's good information.
Yeah, no, yeah, I agree with that. And yeah, Mike Conley, it's been so frustrating to watch what they're doing with him, or him and Gasol. I think all year long with those two, it's going to be.
It's pretty cool to see Marc Gasol taking three pointers.
Yeah, I still would rather him just like to see him playing 35 minutes every night and just not worry about that.
With Marc Gasol, I think coming back from the foot surgery, I'm happy to see him have his minutes limited. But it's good that he's out there playing well, at least in the minutes he's gotten right now.
Yep, I'm with you, and who does Memphis play? Oh, Memphis is at Minnesota. Oh, they already played Minnesota. Man, Karl-Anthony Towns cannot catch a break in terms of matchups just to start the year. Man, so that's a rematch of, I think, opening night those two teams met. All right, let's get on to our top plays at each position, my man.
Let's do it.
All right, so let's start at point guard. As always, point guard, you got options galore. I mean, the two top guys are from the best game of the night, and that's Golden State Portland. That 228 over under is so tasty. So Damian Lillard, he's by far the most expensive out of the two right now. He's 9.9K. His usage rate right now is 34.2%. I think that's like eighth in the league right now, but I think as the season goes on, he's probably going to end up in the top five for sure. He has 50 plus FanDuel points in two out of the first three games. You know, Steph Curry's not a great defender, so he's a fantastic play. I mean, I'm not sure if I'm going to have him in my cash games. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if I go Lillard and Curry in my cash game lineups, and I'm definitely going to use him in tournaments as well.
Are you at all worried about Curry's kind of, I guess, relatively poor performance so far this season? Because he's only scoring about 31, 32 FanDuel points on a given night right now.
Yeah, so in the first, so he's played three games, and he's been consistently kind of bad if you're looking at in terms of FanDuel or DFS, because he's put up 32, 33, and 33. But I mean, the thing about him, like last game, he actually looked good. He got in foul trouble, so that's what really hurt him last game. And the other thing that's hurt him, like he just hasn't been giving you like peripheral stats. Like the assists have been down, the steals have been down. Like he's actually scoring like actual points, fairly, kind of consistently. I think he had like 26 somewhere in there, 25, 26 points the last few games. So
He was
I'm
a
not
really good
all.
rebounder last season too, and he's not even grabbing rebounds.
Yeah,
Like,
he's doing like he's doing and he's doing nothing except shooting. And
yep.
so that concerns me a little, but I think that's going to change. I think they're all just trying to figure things out still. But the thing I love about him right now is the price tag.
Yep.
So 8.7K, it was 8.8K last night, I think, when I played him. So it went down about $100, but I still think he's too good of a player for that price. The upside is tremendous. So you're right. So there still is a little risk with him. So maybe I won't play him in
Curry's
cash.
more of a tournament play right now, not
But
maybe not your 50-50s.
he's gonna bust out. And even and the only reason why I still would consider him for cash tomorrow is because that over under is just so high. I mean, that's a crazy over under. So, but yeah, he's a fantastic tournament play. I mean, he's gonna break out sooner or later. So 8.7K, that's a fantastic price. And we'll talk about Klay too. I mean, those two guys, I mean, their price is too low right now. So after the two top guys, then you go right to the mid range. You got some good options there. D'Angelo Russell, he hasn't been great the first three games. He's 6.1K at Indiana. He's basically only averaging 32 minutes a game right now, and only about 30. He's only topped 30 FanDuel points once. So, he's not a cash game play for me. I probably will use him a little bit in tournaments. He hasn't shot the ball that well yet, but I still think the upside's there, and I'm probably going to use him a little bit tomorrow. What are your thoughts about D'Angelo right now?
I think he's mostly a tournament play right now. You're waiting for him to kind of settle into his groove this season.
What are your thoughts on the minutes? Will the minutes come up, do you think?
Eventually, I really just think that Luke Walton's trying to figure everything out himself. He's a rookie head coach in a lot of regard, having his own, his team finally. And they appear, the Lakers kind of appear to be doing what Brooklyn's doing to some degree. Like they're kind of easing their guys into the season. They're
Yeah.
giving them, they're figuring out everything. They threw Nick Young into the starting lineup on opening night. I don't really believe that's going to stick. Julius Randle, he's been playing okay from a certain perspective, but Larry Nance has looked good. I just don't know that things are settled there. Brandon Ingram's looked good in spurts, and maybe he deserves to get into the starting lineup at some time. I feel like there's a lot in flux there, and eventually D'Angelo Russell's minutes are going to get higher, but we're already seeing him play about 32 minutes a night, which is pretty good anyways.
Yeah, I mean the thing that surprised me the most about Russell last game, I was surprised how much he doesn't even bring the ball up the court, and I was also surprised how much Randle brings the ball up the court. I mean, Randle gets a rebound and he starts the offense, like that was happening all the time.
That's the most interesting thing about Julius Randle is the potential for him to be kind of a Blake Griffin kind of ball handler in the power forward spot. So,
Yeah, he's actually like I was not high on him to start the year, and he's actually been the one Laker who I've been like, wow, like he actually, there could be something pretty interesting going on with him. He could be a lot better than I originally thought.
still makes tons of mistakes, Julius Randle does, but he's 21 years old. So you give him the benefit of the doubt and some time to develop.
Next guy up. This guy, no one talks about him. George Hill. I like the price, 5.6K. He's not very sexy at San Antonio, so it's a little bit of a revenge game for him. But he's just been super consistent so far. He's been between 27 and 35 FanDuel points and 32 to 39 minutes a night for Utah right now. So, he's pretty safe. You can do a lot worse if you're looking to save a little bit and you don't want to go with someone really risky. I think he's an okay play on Tuesday.
I think safe is the right way to go with George Hill. You're not necessarily thinking he's going to go out there and, throw down 35 points or anything for a good tournament play necessarily, but he's a safe play at 5,600.
Yep. Then right in that same range at 5.5K, you got Tim Frazier versus Milwaukee. I love Tim Frazier. I think I've mentioned him before on the pod. Until they get Drew Holiday back, he's just a nice, solid NBA player. He's gotten over 40 FanDuel points in two out of the Pelicans' first three games. So, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to use him on my second cash game spot tomorrow at point guard, but I definitely will throw him in some tournaments tomorrow.
I would say that 18 points that he scored on FanDuel in his last game was against San Antonio. So
yeah.
I would maybe say that I would lean toward Tim Frazier putting up closer to those 40-point things. I think he'd be fine playing him cash or in tournament.
Yep. And one thing I love doing like a Tim Frazier, Anthony Davis stack. Because if Tim Frazier gets a lot of assists, you know, they're going to one guy, and that's Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's worked out for me early in the year. Another guy who, I don't know, he's been okay. I was hoping he would do more because he's getting lots of minutes, is Ty Lawson. The price is very nice, 5.1K. He's got basically a floor of 34 minutes, and he's basically giving you about 20 FanDuel points. So, again, nothing sexy with Ty Lawson right now. But it's a pretty safe play.
Yeah, I think what may scare me away from Ty Lawson is the fact that going up against Miami, a lot of what Ty Lawson does is go into the rack, and having Whiteside down there scares me a little bit. He's just, I don't know if he's doing enough. He's adequate, that's for sure, but it's a press to even get to value some nights, it seems like, with him. So I don't know if the tremendous upside is really there with how he's being used on the Kings right now. Then again, there's a possibility that this is just him still kind of finding his groove playing with all these guys, and maybe Ty Lawson goes out and has a great game, because 5,100, that is a really, you know, maybe he's just a good tournament play.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because when you think about it, if you told me there's a starting point guard who's going to get 34 minutes and he's only 5.1K, I'm like, sign me up.
Yeah.
You know? So it's. I think he's going to explode one of these nights. I'm just not sure which night it's going to be.
I know, and I don't want to think that it's necessarily going to happen against Goran Dragic and Miami, who has a bunch of good guards that he's going to have to expend a lot of energy on the defensive side. At least he better be trying to. So we'll see. We'll see. But maybe this is the night.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy. If you're playing, you know, if you do lots of lineups like I tend to do, I'm probably definitely gonna throw him in maybe two to three. If I play 20 lineups, let's say I throw him in probably two or three, just because I do think he is gonna bust out one of these nights.
Ty Lawson, that's who we talking about.
Yeah, another two more to go for point guards. One is maybe will come into play tomorrow, and that's Chris Dunn. So if right now Ricky Rubio, I think he's questionable.
He's questionable. Rubio was supposed to meet with doctors on Monday evening, but it is now, you know, it's 11 o'clock at night, and we haven't heard anything. So we may not hear anything until shoot around on Tuesday morning. But once we do, we should know more. Thibodeau said that they are optimistic, but he didn't want to speak out of line until after Rubio visited with the doctor. So
yeah, like normally early in the year, I'd be like, they probably rest.
Sugar plums. We just got it. Just came across. Yeah. He is out indefinitely.
Indefinitely. That is not good.
Minnesota Timberwolves today announced Ricky Rubio underwent an evaluation with the orthopedic surgeon. Initial diagnosis of a sprained right elbow was confirmed. He's listed as out indefinitely. Status will be updated as appropriate. So you were about to say it, but Chris Dunn.
Yeah, so this is an interesting question, and I'll let you tackle it first. Is Chris Dunn now, not only is he becomes an interesting DFS play, what about in like a season long? Would you pick him up in like a season long league as well? You know, you slide Rubio to your IR slot.
Yeah,
would
hell
you pick
yeah.
Up Chris Dunn?
Absolutely. I think Chris Dunn is worth seeing what happens. If you are at all worried about your percentages in a rotisserie league, which you should always be worried about them, maybe you don't pursue him there. But it might be worth just to grab him, throw him on your bench, and see what happens. You know, especially in a roto league, you can use your bench as just kind of like chilling out spots for guys because you're not shuffling players in all the time because you have that games limit. So, yeah, I like adding Dunn as a flyer pretty much anywhere that you got somebody who's worth dropping.
Yeah, but now he's going to be a pretty popular play, I would bet, for Tuesday night's DFS as well. So that's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to watching Minnesota play on Tuesday now. Not the best matchup in the world with Minnesota. They're playing versus Memphis, so with an over-under of 199. But still, it's going to be good to see Chris Dunn get some early run. The last guy, Kyle, man, this guy's getting older. He's getting cheaper. Tony Parker, 4.3K. You know, I mean, he rests a lot, doesn't play a lot of games. It's tough to figure him out how many minutes. Even when he plays, I mean, it's hard to envision him getting over 24 minutes. But 4.3K, I mean, that's dirt cheap. I mean, would he enter your thoughts for tomorrow or for Tuesday?
At 4.3K, you could consider getting Tony Parker, but he's kind of been trash so far this season. So, I might throw Tony Parker into a tournament lineup and just see what happens, but I don't think I'd trust him for cash games.
What's actually weird. I mean, I probably wouldn't, even at that price, I probably wouldn't use him in cash. I mean, the problem with using him in tournaments, his ceiling is probably so low too. He's got a low floor and a low ceiling. So even though at 4.3K it's tempting, especially given the matchup against Utah with 187 over-under, it's tough to kind of throw him in a lineup. I might use him in one out of 20 lineups just kind of pray. But it's, right now it's hard. Like you said, he's looked so bad.
So we jumped right on the Chris Dunn, saying, oh, it's obvious that he's gonna step up. But what if they use John Lucas? Don't they have John Lucas III or somebody? They have some, trash guy.
I mean, I think so. I'm not even positive. I mean, now I'm quick on trying to check. By the way, I'm so old. I remember when John Lucas the first played for the Milwaukee Bucks.
I knew I should have known that right off the top of my head, considering the work I do. But yeah, John Lucas. I wanted to confirm that he wasn't waived at the last.
He made the final roster.
So what about that? And then also the possibility that, we're about to get talking about shooting guard Zach LaVine.
Yeah,
over and potentially play, and then they could get Brandon Rush in there, or even Shabazz Muhammad. There's a lot of different options, and we don't necessarily know exactly what's going to happen, but you would assume that considering where they are as a team right now, that Thibodeau would just put Dunn in there and say, we're going to take advantage of the fact we're going to look at the kind of the silver lining here and say, we're going to get our rookie guy some good run right now.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be too worried about John Lucas. I'd be, like you said, I'd be more worried about LaVine just sliding over and playing the point, which he did his first 2 years in the league. And then playing Muhammad or someone else at the two or the three. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure, but I know they like Chris Dunn and they want to get him some minutes. So this is, they're not going to have a better chance than this.
Well, and there was even discussion on Monday about the possibility of Dunn starting from the Minnesota's official website. So
yeah,
it's a really good possibility that Dunn's going to be the guy.
Yep. All right, let's move on to shooting guard. Shooting guard, as always, not nearly as good as point guard. There's a lot of times
I'm going to say it's a pretty decent shooting guard crop just because there's interesting situations due to the games. I'll say that.
Yeah, I would say this is about as this is. Yeah, I would say it is interesting. It's definitely interesting. It's compelling, but is it? It's just sad. Because you go from point guard to top notch studs, and then you go to shooting guard, and then it's
Well, let's talk about the prices and stuff. So Giannis at 9.6K, he's going up against the Pelicans. Solomon Hill can't guard Giannis. Can't nobody except Anthony Davis guard Giannis. So unless the Pelicans are going to put Davis on Giannis a lot, I like that matchup. It is expensive, 9.6K you got to spend on Giannis, but he's scored at least 42 FanDuel points in every single game or all three games so far. He scored 52 one night. The upside's there. I think he's a good tournament play, and I would be pretty comfortable with him as a cash game guy too. How do you feel about him?
Yeah, so Giannis, he's looked tremendous this year. I mean, the problem is, so tomorrow, I mean, look who we have going tomorrow. We got, Cousins, Anthony Davis, you got LeBron, you got Durant, you got Kawhi, you got Giannis, you got Lillard, and you got Curry. So in all likelihood, you probably, you know, you can get, let's say, three of those top guns in your like cash game lineup. Mm-hmm. You know, the question for me is Giannis good enough to be one of those three? And like he's
okay, so not cash game, but
you no. But I'm saying like, he's been so good, and like he does everything for that team.
Yeah.
And I don't like shooting guard that much besides him. Like, I mean, some of the other guys are okay, but like he's pretty safe, man. Like, I think his floor is super high right now, and it like I'm surprised I'm saying that because 9.6K is pretty expensive, but I actually do like him right now. Like, I have him locked in my cash game lineup, so I'm not sure if it will stay that way. But yeah, I like him, man. Like,
just the reason Giannis is safe is like you just said, because he does everything. So
yeah.
First game he goes out and he gets his FanDuel points by scoring 31 points and getting 9 rebounds. Second game, he went out and got 21 points, 11 rebounds, but he added on 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. And then in his third game, he goes out and he gets 17 points, so less scoring, but he adds 8 rebounds, 8 assists, and 3 blocks. He's going to get it done one way or another. And he's going to be out there playing at least 35 minutes a night.
Yeah.
Because they need him to play that much.
Yeah, and like you said, the Pelicans are horrendous defensively, and I think he's going to have a really good game. And 206 over-under, a nice I think either the Pelicans or the Bucks are favored by 3. So, I mean, it's everything about this game seems to me that Giannis is going to, you know, have put up. I think his floor right now is about 42 FanDuel points. So
it's just going to be an awesome battle too. Giannis is going to be yamming on dudes all night, and so is Anthony Davis. It's going to be awesome.
Yep.
Other shooting guards to consider: CJ McCollum at 7.3K. It's just we've been talking about this Golden State Portland game. There's going to be so many possessions, so many points scored. It's going to probably be a tight game because OKC's still been figuring out how to play together. And McCollum's been getting tons of minutes. I think he's definitely worth a tournament play at 7.3K, and he's probably a decent cash game guy, or is that maybe pushing it?
So
his floor might be too low.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first two games he just didn't shoot well at all. I mean, but he's averaging 38 minutes, which is fantastic. Like you said, the over-under is amazing. Klay Thompson, he's up against Klay Thompson, who actually is a good defender. But and he was 6.8K, I think, last night or two nights ago. So his price went up $500, which – or maybe he was actually 7.1K, and it was 6.8K about a week ago. So the price – you know, either way, the price is going up. He's a borderline cash game play for me. I'd say only because of that high over-under would he probably crack into it. But I think I might go Clay at 5.8K, who we'll talk about in a second. Maybe he's a little bit better because he's just so much cheaper. But I think for tournaments, he's a fantastic play. He's got a monster upside. I mean, he put up 50 FanDuel points last game against Denver. So, you know, the upside is definitely there. The minutes are there. The shot's there. Everything's appealing right now. Except that price tag is a little bit too high. I think he's more about a 6.8K player. But, you know.
So tournament, lean tournament on McCollum.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You better throw him in some tournaments. And cash game, I mean, you can maybe talk me into it.
I think we've done a little bit of a job of talking you into it. But yeah. You mentioned Klay Thompson being just 5.8K. And he's had two trash games, though. 14 points one night, 24 points another night on FanDuel. And then squished in between those two games, he scored 39 FanDuel points against the Pelicans. So regardless of that, though, Klay has played 33, 38, and 40 minutes. He's getting tons of minutes. You love the game, the against Portland, everything that we've been talking about. So 5.8K, I say you at least got to get Klay into some tournament lineups.
So Klay Thompson, 5.8K right now. I mean, he's more of like a 7K player. Now, granted, that was last year when they had Durant, where he was typically priced around there. That price is just too low. It's just too tasty to pass up. I'm going to throw him in a lot of tournaments. You know, CJ McCollum, we just mentioned him, who he's up against, is a horrendous defender. You know, Klay's due to bust out one of these nights, just like Steph is. I'm not sure if he's going to – he may sneak into my cash game lineup as well, but I'm definitely going to play him in a lot of tournaments. I mean, that 228 over-under is too good to pass up. The price is too low. You know, his upside's too high. I want a lot of Klay on a Tuesday night.
See, we're finding plenty of shooting guards to like. Another one we already kind of mentioned a little bit, Zach LaVine at 5.9K. You like the fact that Rubio's going to be out. and the potential there. Plus, Levine's been he's been hitting value the first two games. He's had 29 FanDuel points on a 55 and 5600 salary. So he's getting your value there, and there's upside. So I love Levine at the 59, you know, 5.9K.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little worried about Levine's minutes coming into the year. And my favorite part about the first two games for Minnesota is he's played 34 and 37 minutes. So, and he's been consistent. He's basically, you know, giving you 29, like you said, 29 FanDuel points. So with no Rubio, that's only going to increase, I think, both his minutes and FanDuel production. So he's an intriguing play. I wish the matchup was better. Memphis, you know, not the best matchup in the world, but I think he's a fine play tomorrow, and he's pretty safe too.
Tony Allen's supposed to still be out, and they started Andrew Harrison a couple of games, and they started Jarrell Martin. So, I'm not too worried about those guys matching up against Zach LaVine. I think he's got them beat on talent, so I'm okay with that matchup too. Evan Fournier, he's another guy I like. He's playing at Philadelphia, 6,000 salary. Fournier has hit value two of his three games so far. And then the other game, it wasn't so good, but that's because the Magic got blown out against Detroit. The Magic have lost all three games so far. They've got an easy matchup against Philadelphia. They're going to want to kill in this game. So, and Fournier's their number one option. He's their go-to guy. I like this. In the non-blowouts, he's played 37 and 39 minutes. So at 6,000, I like Fournier. I like the potential there.
Yeah, I mean, you actually were right. There are some decent shooting guards. He's a pretty safe play for Tuesday night. 6K. Yep. I mean, first of all, there's been two teams that have the two most perplexing teams just watching for me have been Indiana, which has confused me, and then the second one by far has been Orlando. Like, they look just horrendous though as a team on the court. I'm not sure what the heck is going on there with the squad, but in terms of DFS, you know, I think Fournier is, like you said, he's probably their top option, if not, you know, their second option. In the two games that, you know, that weren't blowouts, he's played, he's averaged 38.5 minutes, which is fantastic. So the shots are going to be there, the minutes are going to be there. At 6K, the price is reasonable. So, you know, I like him for cash games and even tournaments, because we saw last year, the upside, you know, is there. And I think, you know, they're playing like crap, so Philly should be able to keep that game close, which means good things if you want to roster Evan tomorrow.
Other shooting guard guys to consider: Deion Waiters, just 4.5K going up against the Sacramento Kings. It's just not a bad price for Waiters. He's been playing tons of minutes, starting at shooting guard for Miami. Waiters isn't necessarily good. He's not a good basketball player, but he's getting the run, and he's got opportunity right now. So at just 4.5K, I think Deion Waiters is a safe play there.
Yeah, it's funny. I was reading an article in the Miami Herald today about how the Miami fans are already sick of Deion Waiters. they're already fed up with him after three games.
It's just because he doesn't necessarily come off as a hustle guy unless it's on offense in certain regards. And he always seems to be taking away possessions from other players who probably deserve it more, whether that's Dragic, Winslow, Tyler Johnson this year. But thing is, this is going to be short-lived with Waiters. He's filling in right now because Josh Richardson's out. And seeing that 33, 34-minute nights, that's what Josh Richardson's going to be getting.
Yep.
If they're giving Deion Waiters that much run, that's how much run Josh Richardson's going to get. And that's going to be awesome when Josh Richardson's healthy and back in the lineup.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, the good things about Deion Waiters for DFS purposes, if you want to throw him in, you know, I don't think I'm going to play a ton of him tomorrow, but if you want to throw him in a tournament, you know, he is streaky. He can get hot, you know, and that price, you know, is so low. It opens up, you know, other roster spots for you to get guys like Durant or LeBron or AD, whoever you want to get. So, you know, I'm probably not going to use a lot of Deion, but, like, you know, you're right. At that price,
I'm essentially everybody else we talked about was 5.8K or higher. So yeah. I was looking at Deion and saying, like, that's a safe guy. If you, as long as Josh Richardson's still out, that's Deion Waiters, a safe guy that you could put in and probably get value back on, who's at a lower price.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get you 34 minutes, and he's probably going to get you 20 or so FanDuel points. And if he does that, he's He's probably not going to, you know, help you win a GPP, but he's not going to lose it for you either. So he keeps you in the ballgame at that price.
Word up.
Last shooting guard, man. I had to mention this guy.
Sorry, you put him on the list, so I figured you were going to talk about him.
Yeah. I felt like I had to because I've yet to play him in DFS this year, and I've rostered probably almost every player in the NBA, and that's Nick Young, who I don't even know what his price is. Like, dear God. I probably should have sort of checked.
He is still just 3.6K.
Wow. So look, he is starting for the Lakers, and he's playing like significant minutes. He played 30 minutes last game against OKC, and he had 23 FanDuel points.
He's hit value essentially all three games.
Yeah. I mean, at 3.6K, you need 18 FanDuel points. I mean, yeah, he should be on your radar if you're playing DFS, and if you need a minimum guy, if you need to punt at a position, as long as he's getting 24 minutes or right around there, you got to mention him.
Woo woo! All right, let's go and talk about some small forwards. LeBron James 9.9K, but it's that Houston game with the 9-point spread. Do we still consider this a kind of a safe buy with LeBron at 9.9K? Because that's a good salary.
Yeah. So first of all, Houston, by the way, is another team that Houston and Dallas are two other teams that have been just annoying to watch. They both have not looked very good. But I mean, for Dallas, Dirk has been out. Maybe that's part of the reason.
I mean, if you talk about Dallas's roster, it doesn't necessarily evoke feelings of like, oh yeah, I got a league past those guys.
Dear God, I had so much James Harden in my DFS lineups last night, so I watched the entire game. I had to watch Wesley Matthews take 25 shots. I wanted to kill myself. Like, I don't want to live in a world where Wesley Matthews gets 25 shots.
At least a post Achilles tear.
Yeah,
Wesley Matthews. I mean, he used to be a boss.
Right. Yeah, it was just painful. Now he did play terrific defense on Harden, which was bad for me because I had Harden everywhere, but. Offensively, it was just atrocious. And Rick Carlisle is a really good coach, so I don't know why he wasn't trying to get other guys involved now that they have a lot of options. But that was not good to watch. LeBron, I do like the play. I am scared.
He's got to score 50 points. Do you think he's going to do that?
I mean, so Ariza's actually a decent defender. He's the only kind of decent defender Houston has, but. Like, I'm surprised this spread isn't more. Cleveland's only favored by 9. So I don't know if I'm going to use LeBron in my cash games just because I think Cleveland could destroy Houston. With that said, you know, LeBron's always the safe play, right? I mean, but he's expensive. So 9.9K, I'm definitely going to use LeBron. I just don't know how much and in what capacity at this point. But, I mean, you know, it's LeBron James. Come on.
All right, Kevin Durant, we've probably spent too much time talking about LeBron just because Durant's cheaper and better. 9.8K from Durant through his first three games. He scored 53, 53, and 65 FanDuel points. So he's over value on every single one. So he's just a good buy all around right now, right?
Yeah, he's been the only guy for Golden State who's looked just fantastic in each of the games. He's shooting the lights out right now. He's rebounding. I think this is the best I've seen him rebound the ball. And this is now the best matchup that he's had probably so far this year. I mean, who the heck from Portland is going to try to guard him? Aminu? I mean, it'll be
Mo Harkless. Harkless or yeah. Aminu or Alan Crabb. They're going to throw a lot of guys at him.
Yeah, I mean,
and I don't think any of them are going to do that well. So,
yeah, I don't either.
Like you said, I'm not that worried about it. And that's not to really denigrate those guys. It's just that it's KD, yo.
Yeah, it's just that he's a 7-foot monster. He's an alien. So, yeah, a game with 228 over under, you know, I want a lot. I mean, this is tough because there's LeBron, Durant, and Kawhi tomorrow. You know, three top notch, the three probably best small forwards in the game. And everyone's going to be on Durant. So, for tournaments, I'm probably going to – it's going to pain me, but I'm probably going to fade Durant a little bit just because he's going to be so highly owned. But I think
Kawhi is an interesting play because a lot of people are going to be looking away from Kawhi for reasons we talked about earlier, the fact that the over-under is 187, the spread is 10.5. But if you go and look at what Kawhi has done so far this year in his two – so the the Spurs have had four games. They just got done with the back-to-back set. On the back-to-back set, Kawhi only played 28 and 29 minutes, or 28 and 30 minutes. But in the two non-back-to-back games, Kawhi played 32 and 34 minutes. That extra minutes for Kawhi, man, he's been getting so many stats per minute right now that that'll give him that extra bump he needs. I think he's a potentially kind of good kind of contrarian play to go with.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like that's how you win tournaments. You find a superstar player. First of all, he's priced too low. He's about a 9K player. So he's you're getting him at below market value at 8.3K. You know, the matchup I'm not a fan of, but you know, in a large GPP, he's going to be super low owned. Everyone's going to go Durant. Everyone's going to go LeBron. There's some guys, some cheaper guys, people will probably play. So I think Kawhi is a very intriguing contrarian play for GPPs tomorrow on Tuesday.
Totally. Other small forwards to consider: Andrew Wiggins at 6.4K against Memphis. This was really another just the kind of like rolling effect of Rubio being out. There's the potential for other players to have the ball in their hands more, to be asked to make plays more. So I think Wiggins should at least be in consideration at 6.4K. How do you look at him?
So Wiggins, you know, he's one of those one-trick pony guys. So he's hard for me to roster because he's going to score, but he does nothing else. So how many assists do you think Wiggins has in the year so far?
I know the answer. Zero. None.
Yeah, so Andrew Wiggins, zero assists the first two games. So how many steals do you think he's had the first two games, Kyle?
Zero.
Zero, that's right. So it's like he's just doing nothing else for us on the court right now.
But he is really awesome at scoring.
Like he is.
He's getting to the free throw line. He had 11 attempts one game, 14 attempts the other game. You know, 25 points, 29 points. He's getting buckets.
He is. But so this is the thing, right? So he's 6.4K. So he would need to score me about probably 30 actual points to make him, you know, kind of hit bad. And then, you know, hopefully he gets like one rebound falls in his lap and maybe he somehow gets lucky into an assist or a steal to hit value. So that, you know, that's tough to do against a pretty quality Memphis team. The one thing that he does have going for him is Rubio is out. So maybe he'll get some more shots, be able to handle the ball a little bit more. But, you know, I'm not, if it was a game with a much higher over under, I'd probably be a little more excited. So I'm not going to have a ton of exposure for Mr. Wiggins tomorrow or on Tuesday.
He did score 33 points against Memphis in their first matchup this season to start.
He can do it. There's no doubt. But think about it. I mean, like, what would he have to do for him to, like, you know, really like crush value?
Well, the other thing is, like, yes, Memphis is, like, you know, known as a good defensive team, and they still have Marc Gasol, but.
Allen's out. Yeah.
Right, and James Ennis is starting, and who knows who's going to start next to James Ennis. So from all those – and then the fact that Gasol might be on a minutes limit, too, like all those things, I think throwing Wiggins into a tournament lineup would not be a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's – you know, I'm not going to use him a lot, but I do think that he's, you know – if you want to throw him in some lineups, I got no issues.
Yeah, I don't think he's terrible, I guess.
No, definitely not terrible. It's just like when you're talking about a one-trick pony, I mean you're so reliant on that scoring.
This guy's not a one-trick pony. Aaron Gordon, 5.9K, playing against Philadelphia at Philadelphia. He's hit value essentially in two of his three games so far. What do you think about Aaron Gordon at Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely going to have some lineups where I go hard on the Orlando guys tomorrow. I mean, I like all their prices. We'll talk about Ibaka in a second, who's made me get some gray hairs. But, you know, I like Ibaka, I like Aaron Gordon, and like Evan Fournier, even some Melford Payton maybe. I mean, they're all dirt cheap. They're all going to play a lot of minutes, and they all have some upside. So, you know, 5.9K, that's a reasonable price for me at small forward. You know, he like you said, he's kind of an all-around player, gets blocks. He had a game with four steals already. So, you know, I like what he can do. You know, would I play him in cash games? Probably not, but I'm definitely going to have some exposure in tournaments.
Robert Covington, after being 5.9K in his first two games, FanDuel dropped him down to just a 4.7K player now. And Covington scored 25 points in Philadelphia's first game with just 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. Covington can go out there and get a big steals game. and put up a weird diverse line with some pretty good scoring. I like Covington at 4.7K. I think he's a really good tournament play.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. 4.7K for someone with his talent is just way too low. Now, I guess I understand why it's happened given the first couple games haven't gone that well. But then again, like you said, he still put up 25 FanDuel points in the season opener. And like last year, there were games when Covington put up like close to 40 or 50 FanDuel points. I mean, he has that kind of upside.
So the only thing I don't like is Aaron Gordon being his matchup. Like if Philadelphia had a better player for Aaron Gordon to match up on, Aaron Gordon would probably go match up on that player, but Covington's the guy. Covington's the scorer from the wing for them, especially with Saric's shot not dropping at all.
Yeah, but Covington's, I mean, at that price, he's just so cheap. For tournaments, he's too good for me to pass up. I'm going to be using a lot of him in tournaments. Man, like you're talking about a guy, you know, who does have upside of 40 to 50 FanDuel point potential. And I mean, in order to hit value, he needs to give you like 23 FanDuel points. I mean, like, that's just too low. This game should stay close. His minutes should go up. He's one of their better players. So I love Covington for Tuesday night.
Yep. And I'd also go with at small forward, just one last guy to throw out there, Justice Winslow at 5K. He's getting tons of minutes. He's scored 34 and 31 FanDuel points in two of his games, 20 FanDuel points in the other one. But that was Winslow's matched up against Michael Kidd-Gilchrist in the 20 FanDuel point game. So we've seen Winslow have a bigger role than what most people have expected. Season-long leagues, if Justice Winslow is still available out there anywhere, go pick him up. He should be owned. Absolutely.
What about Covington in season-long leagues?
I'm lukewarm on him because I don't trust his field. Well, his field goal percentage always sucks. I think he's kind of a, you know, Covington. I feel bad now because I'm gonna like talk bad about him.
No, that's okay. I don't think he listens, so you'll be all right.
I don't like Robert Covington in my season long leagues. I don't think he does enough across the board from night to night. I don't trust his value and his shot. He's not asked to do a lot, but he's asked to shoot the ball, and it frustrates me how often he'll just lose his shot for a long stretch from 3-point land. There's part of me that doesn't believe in his talent to be an NBA rotation player, so I don't necessarily trust that he's going to keep his job.
Oh wow, you're really down on him. Yeah, I mean, I still believe in the guy. I mean, he's had some rough stretches for sure. And it is frustrating when he goes in one of those slumps. But I still think the guy has massive upside.
Ben Simmons comes back. Then they have to start playing either Simmons or Saric some minutes at small forward at least. So there'd become a logjam would form.
Yeah, but when is Simmons going to come back? I mean, like
– they're talking January.
Best case scenario, January. So, and this is Philly. So, I mean, not – you know –
Well, and that's one of the other things about it, though. Like, Covington had all last year to kind of, like, you know, solidify a larger role, and I haven't seen that from him. And I just don't know if that's him.
Yeah, fair enough. But, I'm with you on Winslow. I mean, 5K, he's a massive player on that Miami offense. And, you know, he's locked into, you know, maybe the most minutes on the team right now. And he's just a really good all-around player. And the offensive game, you know, is actually a lot better than I thought. So, so far, he could be a steal if you got him in season long. And for DFS, he's a pretty good guy for 5K right now. I think he's pretty safe.
Yeah. You know what? I hate Mo Harkless's price at 4.8K, but Mo Harkless could be asked to play a ton of minutes against Golden State if Golden State goes to that small lineup a lot. So if that happens, Marcos could end up being a wonderful – he could end up being in the winning – well, maybe. He could end up being in some really good lineups. You've seen two crap games out of Harkless so far, 9 points and 4 points from FanDuel, but then he also had a 36-point game on FanDuel. So just something to consider.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, but what do we got for power forwards?
All right, so power forwards, got some some good guys here. Some names that you guys should all be familiar with. Anthony Davis. You know, I don't think we need to say much about him. He started the year just on fire. 11K versus Milwaukee. I'm very you know, intrigued to see what his ownership level is on Tuesday night, because we got, you know, like we've already mentioned, we got a lot of stars going. So I've been surprised, because I thought people would be so frustrated, you know, from his performance, especially last year, that his ownership wouldn't be that high, even though when he had really good games the first couple games. But his ownership is through the roof right now. So I may fade him quite a bit tomorrow, which might hurt me. But I don't think I'm going to use him in cash at that price. I will absolutely use him in some tournaments. But
you're not confident that he's gonna just destroy Milwaukee, because who can guard him on Milwaukee? Nobody in their front court.
No one. No, no one. Yeah, no. I just think there's other guys that I want tomorrow. Like I need, you know, I need guys from that Golden State OKC game. I think I want Giannis. I think I want Durant for sure. You know, so 11K. That's a big chunk of my salary cap. So I'm just not sure I see him as of right now in my cash game lineup. I mean, I have no doubt he's going to have a really good game.
Right. So just, tournament.
You absolutely should use him in some tournaments. And quite honestly, you can use him in cash games as well. I just don't know if I'm going to use him at that price. We should have so many good guys going.
Yep.
Speaking of that, one guy that I'm going to look to get in a lot of my lineups, and that's Draymond Green. Again, I want everyone from this game. It just sucks. I mean, the 228 over under at Portland, like, he's been okay this year so far. The 8.3K, I think it's a fair price for him. He's gotten 51 FanDuel points, 33 and 38 in the first three games of the year. So he needs about 41, 42 to hit value. Very capable of him doing against Portland. I think it's a really good matchup for him. So he's a guy that I'll be looking to play a lot on Tuesday.
I'm okay with that. I mean, I really like the matchup against Portland, because you could see Portland keep any number of different centers in there against them, and none of them are going to be able to match up well against them.
Yep.
Unless Portland ends up going with a super small lineup where they put like Al-Farouq Aminu on Draymond, but you're not really terrified of Al-Farouq Aminu either.
No, and Aminu has not looked good to start the year. He's actually been one of the most disappointing guys that I've had to watch. Next up, a guy who's been become like a staple in my cash game lineups early in the year, and that's Kevin Love. The price has been too low. Now it's come up a little bit. Now it's 7.3K, but I love the matchup on Tuesday versus Houston at home. I mean, Ryan Anderson cannot guard him. You know, the first three games, Kevin Love has been 23, 39, and 44 FanDuel points. So he's easily hit value two out of the first three games. I really like the matchup here. He's just a nice, safe play right now.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Next guy up. This guy, you know, sexy Porzingis, 6.6K at your Pistons tomorrow or on Tuesday. I don't know what to do with I'm not going to lie. This is one guy I don't know what to do with as of right now when we're taping the podcast. The last game he looked okay, or actually in the first two games he's been okay. He's averaging 35 minutes and about 30 FanDuel points. So he's not giving you value, but he's not killing your lineups either.
Kristaps, he's going to click at some point though, because Jeff Hornacek, he keeps talking about the fact that they need to, he just keeps talking about Porzingis and making sure Porzingis is a part of the offense, and it's going to happen. They're going to figure out a way to make him a really big part of what's going on there, and then we're going to see just monstrous lines from him on a given night. And I mean, they're like you already pointed out, 33 and 36 minutes through the first two games. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's certain guys that I make sure to play in at least like one lineup. And Porzingis is one of those guys, because the upside is just, it's there. I mean, he will explode. Like you said, he's going to bust out for 40, 50 FanDuel points one night.
He said this preseason, he wants to get a five by or a quadruple or no, a pent. I think he said quadruple double. Yeah, he said quadruple, though. I'd like to see him get a pentuple double or whatever a 5 times 10 is.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, if there's one guy that could do it, it would probably be him. So, you know, I think that price, by the end of the year, I would be shocked if he's not around 7.2K. So that's, you know, you're getting right now Porzingis, you know, at a really nice salary.
I'm calling it. He's getting the first quadruple double in, like, 23 years.
This year or tomorrow? Or on
Tuesday night.
Tuesday night? Oh, against your Pistons?
Against my Pistons. He's just going to ram the dagger right into my heart.
Right against Tobias?
Right in his face.
All right, so next guy up, I always put Thad Young, this may be just my own. I need to see a psychiatrist over this. I always roster too much Thad Young. Like, I don't know why. So he's 6.1K. I just like the matchup tomorrow against the Lakers. I think he's going to, you know, Julius Randle, as much as we just talked about him early in the show, and we both like his talent. I don't think he's the smartest player in the world. Thaddeus Young is a really intelligent basketball player. I think he could have a good game on Tuesday. The first two games, or I'd say, well, Indiana, so the Indiana's played three games. They got blown out against the Bulls, one of them. The other two, he played about 35 minutes and had about 30 FanDuel points. So he's basically hitting value. You know, he's another one of those guys who's just a nice, safe play. Not super sexy, but, you know, I'm going to play a little bit of Thad on Tuesday.
I'm okay with using pretty much anybody against the Lakers.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But as far as being up or big on Thad Young, no, not necessarily. But he, like you said, he got 37 FanDuel points against Brooklyn, so he's a decent play.
And I forgot, you know, speaking of which, let's just talk briefly, because that's my bad, I didn't bring him up. Another star we have going on Tuesday, that's Paul George against the Lakers, 9.2K. So you got to throw him in the mix as well.
Well, so you mean from the small forward mix?
Yeah, small forward.
But George hasn't been hitting value, though. Like, he's actually been kind of a disappointment so far this year. He's scored 41, 38, and then 24 FanDuel points. Like, he hasn't been – whatever they're doing on offense, whatever, however they're sharing the ball around, there's too many mouths to feed there for him right now. He's still putting up good production. Like, you look at his stats, 25, 8, 6, 22, 9, 2, 20, 3 assists. Like, there's good stats there from Paul George, but he's not putting up enough stats to meet the price tag for him right now.
I'm with you, and I think he is. I was hoping his value would come down, you know, closer to, like, what Kawhi is priced at. I mean, he's still, like, 9.2K, but Lakers, 216 over-under, that's, I mean, I'm going to need to have a little bit of Paul George in tournaments.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think the ownership is going to be, you know, nice and a nice reasonable amount tomorrow or on Tuesday. So I want me a little bit of Paul George.
What about back up on those power forwards?
Yeah. So next up, a guy who has he's been painful to watch so far this year, and that's Serge Ibaka. 5.5K at Philly. Even though he's been dreadful, the minutes are still there. He's getting you 30 plus minutes. He did go for 19 points, 7 rebounds, and 28 FanDuel points last game. So he basically hit value the last game for Orlando, which was good to see. He can't play any worse. So I'm going to use a little bit of Ibaka on Tuesday, probably in tournaments.
He's been so bad.
So bad.
And it's well, that's maybe not too –
I
watched that Detroit game. He was friggin' horrible that game. So, but no, the other two games, 36 and 30 minutes, and they played Cleveland and they got beat up by Cleveland too. I'm with you, Serge Ibaka, 5,500. It's worth it.
But so obviously you're down on him, and understandably so. But do you think he's just not as good as we thought he is, or
Right now, all that matters is the fact that the Magic are playing against Philadelphia. So it's a good situation for Serge Ibaka to do well. So
yep, I'm with you. And the last guy, if you want to save some money, we mentioned Okafor is out for Philly tomorrow, and that's Saric. Now, 3.9K, that's a beautiful price. The minutes have been there the first two games, 26 and 27. Production hasn't. 12 and 14 FanDuel points. I do think, though, the upside's there, so I'm going to throw him in some tournaments, and just hope it clicks.
It has to eventually. The talent is there for Dario Saric. I'm with you. At least he's super cheap. 3.9K, it's totally worth throwing him into some tournaments.
I'm going to stack the hell out of some Philly Orlando just so I can, you know, watch that game and cry.
I like it.
All right, let's get to the last position, man. Center. You want to roll through centers?
That's all you, baby.
All right. So DeMarcus Cousins, he crushed my heart on Monday night, getting in foul trouble and being moping around and just being dopey. So I think he's due for a bounce back game. He's going to be motivated at Miami, at Mr. Whiteside. It's going to be fun to watch Sacramento, Miami, and watch two of the best big men in the game go at it. But you know, I just think he's too volatile. There's too many great players going on Tuesday night. I don't think I'm going to use him in cash, but for tournaments, I'll make sure to use him a little bit.
There's a part of me that wants to stay away from DeMarcus because he might be matched up against Whiteside all night. But then there's another part of me that feels like, well, what if Miami tries to put Luke Babbitt on him or somebody else of little consequence out on the perimeter? And he might just be able to kind of take those guys off the dribble and back them down into the post. I'm kind of 50-50 on it. I'll throw DeMarcus into a tournament, but yeah, I don't really necessarily trust him for cash.
Yeah. Next up, Karl Anthony Towns. You know, he hasn't, I mean, me and Mark talked about him on the season long show yesterday. You know, he hasn't started the year off great, but I'm not too concerned. He's had some tough matchups. Now, unfortunately, they're playing Memphis on Tuesday. They played Memphis in the season opener where he had 21 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 block, 1 steal. Got you 35 FanDuel points. So that's, you know, he didn't really hit value. The rebounds are the most concerning thing, but I think that you know, I think overall he should be fine. I'm not going to use a ton of him against Memphis. Maybe in some tournaments. I'm not using him in cash games, though, on Tuesday. But I still think in tournaments I'll probably throw him in a couple lineups.
Yeah, you're almost just banking on the fact that he hasn't played well and you know something's coming.
Right.
Because 36 and 37 minutes, like all the keys to getting big production are there. Seeing 15 points and 6 rebounds out of Towns, that's just weird. That's just so weird.
Yeah. You know, like watching their offense, I think as the season goes on, they'll fix this. They're just not getting him the ball enough either right now.
Nope. Agreed.
So next up, the guy who's facing DeMarcus Cousins, that's Whiteside. He's a little bit cheaper. He's about 1.3K cheaper than Cousins. He's 8.6K. Whiteside has started the season really well, 43, 38, and 56 FanDuel points. So, you know, I'm probably going to use Whiteside in a little bit of tournaments. Both Whiteside and Cousins are risky, you know, on what if, you know, they could follow each other out. I mean, God only knows what's going to happen with these two. I would tend to like Whiteside a little bit more only because he's a lot cheaper.
I think the lack of outside shooting on Sacramento intrigues me, because if they have to go to the rack a lot, and if they're going to the rack a lot, that could mean a buttload of blocks for Hassan.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah. Now, a guy you could counter with if you don't want to go Cousins, Whiteside, or Towns for that matter. A guy who I had a lot of a couple nights ago. Finally, looks like he's turning it around. Your boy, Andre Drummond, 8.4K. So the price has come up a little bit, but rightfully so. I like the matchup against the Knicks. He should destroy Joakim Noah. 40 and 59 FanDuel points the last two. He had a Barber Walters game. He had 20 points, 20 rebounds last game. So I really like Drummond. Now, I'm not sure if I want to use him in cash. I might try to spend low at center to get some of those other stars in. But I will definitely throw him in some tournaments.
Yeah, no, and he's Drummond looked like he was on a war path against Orlando. He was just going after every single ball. They have so many ball handlers who go into the paint, and I don't think I'm going to be able to describe this well enough, but like Drummond, even if he's not getting big blocks on a given night, he's been going up there and he's been very demonstrative, just kind of getting into people or disrupting ball handlers. He's taking his game to another level, and I think investing in him right now in daily, especially in tournaments, would be a good idea, because he might be putting up some crazy stat lines going forward.
You think he's cash game ready right now for Tuesday, or just tournaments?
I think he should be a lock to play tons of minutes against New York. So I do like that. Yeah.
Okay. Next up, a guy who's started the season really well. That's Miles Turner. His price has come up too. Now it's over 7K. It's 7.1K. Really nice matchup though against the Lakers. He started the season off with 60 FanDuel points. Then the last two have been 31 and 33. Although 33 FanDuel points, that's kind of misleading, because Indiana lost by like 30 to the Bulls. So he did that in three quarters. He's just got a lot of talent, a lot of upside. I'm not going to use him in cash on Tuesday, but I will use him in tournaments.
I love that you put that into context there with the Chicago game and the fact that it was a blowout, because Turner did only play 21 minutes and still put up 32 or 33 FanDuel points.
And he was the only Indiana player that looked good.
So the 7.1K, that's a really good value for that Lakers matchup, because if they try to guard him with what are they going to do? Are they going to try and guard him with Timofey Mozgov? Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, he should – I mean, wow. I mean, you're talking about one guy who is crazy, freakishly athletic versus one guy who's robotic. So that could get ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You imagine, like, Mozgov trying to guard him on the perimeter?
No, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be really ugly. And hopefully Turner takes advantage of that and actually starts to step out a little bit more past the three-point line, because a lot of the time you'll see Miles Turner just kind of hover into that Antonio McDyess, Tim McDuncan zone, that extended free throw line.
Yeah.
And he'll hit those with such accuracy that it doesn't, you know, it's awesome. But you want him to pull that big center out of the paint completely. So go, but whatever. Maybe we'll see that more.
Yep. All right. So then you got five really top tier centers. And then after that, then you got some value guys, you know, three value guys we can throw at you. One is Mark's favorite player, Clint Capella. I'm just not, you know, I'm not seeing enough. You know, the salary's okay, 4.6K at Cleveland. I mean, basically he's averaging about 25 minutes and 23 FanDuel points the first few games. So he's been okay, but it's pretty clear from watching the games that D'Antoni, I mean, he's not going to play Clint big minutes. I mean, he's not going to get over really 25 minutes. He's going to, you know, he's basically splitting time with, I think it's Nene, and I think even like Harrell is getting some run for Houston. And Nene actually looked good last game for Houston. So I'm not overly excited about Clint. I don't run a whole lot of him on Tuesday.
Yeah, you're pretty much going to get 26 minutes out of Clint Capella every single night. Yeah. And even on nights where things are going good, we saw in against Dallas in one of their last games, Mike D'Antoni took Clint Capella out of the game because he was worried that the Mavericks were going to hack-a-shack him. And then the Mavericks even hack-a-shacked Nene once Nene came in the game. So
right.
That's going to lose Clint Capella some minutes this season. So 25-26 is probably where we're at. Although I do think that as the year goes on, I doubt it. Clint Capella really sucks at free throws. But maybe his defense will just kind of earn him more minutes earlier in the game so that they can try to avoid the whole hack-a-shack stuff.
Yep. Another guy, I don't know why I'm mentioning him, but he's always super low owned. I think I'm mentioning him just because the matchup is against Houston, and maybe it can somehow get in a really up and down pace. That's Tristan Thompson. You know, he's typically a two category guy, points and rebounds, but he's only 4.3K. You know, like I said, the low ownership he's got, but he's been boomer. I wouldn't even say boomer bust. I'd say boomer. Like what's like an in between? I would say it's between bust and like what's like not a boom, but like something like that makes like an, you know, an okay sound, something like that. Cause he's been between 5 FanDuel points and 27 FanDuel points. So even if he explodes, the ceiling's not that high. I'm not super high in him, but if you do want to go super contrarian and, you know, play someone who's, you know, relatively cheap at center, you know, you could throw in Tristan Thompson.
Yeah. He's a wet fart.
Yeah. The last guy, this guy, you know, he looked a little bit better last game for the Knicks. That's Joakim Noah, 4.2K. The minutes are the biggest issue probably right now for him. Only 22 minutes last game. But in those 22 minutes, he put up 27 FanDuel points. So I think he's got a low ceiling, but I think the floor is okay. So he's another one of those centers on Tuesday. If you want to, you know, throw him in there, if you want to save some money at center so you can spend up and get Anthony Davis, get Durant, get Lillard, get those guys, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, you would think that it would be easy for Noah to meet value on 4.2K. So
yeah,
if you need a cheap option there, I would agree that's okay. 4.5K for Joel Embiid. He should get close to value if nothing else. He's projected for 24 minutes, and we've seen him scoring darn near a minute per a point per minute that he plays. So something to consider.
Yeah, I'm surprised how good he's looked. I wish he would get more minutes. I wish he could get more minutes.
Right, yeah, he's still on those restrictions. So.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about Pau Gasol? If LaMarcus happens to be out for some reason, Pau's in play at 6.5 because we saw him play well when LaMarcus was out last game. Got 41 FanDuel points.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go, you know, really contrarian and LaMarcus is out, I would definitely throw a lineup with Pau. I mean, the problem on Tuesday is they're going up against Utah and Rudy Gobert. So, and, you know, we mentioned that over-under of 187. So there's just so many other better options. But he, like, I think I played him, I think it was it, I can't remember if it was last night or 2 nights ago. He was like 3% owned when I played him. And he put up over 40 FanDuel points. So, you know, he definitely has the potential. So, yeah, I mean, if LaMarcus is out, I will absolutely throw him in a lineup or two.
Cool. All right. I don't have anything else.
Woo. Man, I feel like we mentioned a lot of guys.
We did. There were a lot of guys mentioned.
Yeah, so, all right, man, that's it. So, yeah, so really good nine games played. The key probably is that the 6 p.m. lineup locks, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Well, you guys Central time have it worse. It's like 5 p.m. for you guys. So, that it's just – get ready for that and do what you have to do. Tell your boss you have meetings or, you know, lie to so you can get your roster set.
Yeah. Yep. All right. And, if you follow me on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA, I'm Kyle McEwen. I also work at Basketball Monster. They let us check out all their cool stats and stuff like that. And that's how we kind of formulate the show a little bit, is just kind of looking on there, looking for value plays and all that jazz. So if you yourself would like to subscribe to Basketball Monster, just go to basketballmonster.com. Tons of awesome tools there that you can use for DFS and season long.
Yep. I use it every day. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm Daniel Green. You can find me at Daniel A Green 1, green like the color. Remember, I run these daily DFS tournaments as well. If you guys want to get in, feel free. They're a lot of fun. It's only $2. So, you know, it's mostly just for fun. Just, you know, hit me up on Twitter if you want in. Other than that, man, that's it. Enjoy the basketball on Tuesday night, guys.
Word up. Love you guys. Bye.